Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Noel.
Hello.
Hi, Noel. Can you hear me clearly?
I can. It's quite nicely. Yes. Oh,
I can hear you very well. Wonderful, wonderful. So, good morning.
Good morning.
So nice. So, finally, we've got past all the hitches and glitches, and here we are. In the open land of friendship.
Yes.
Well, I have traveled with you for over a year now. Almost a year now. It was last May that we found each other online. Thanks to the pandemic.
But yeah.
You were looking for... what were you looking for? NVC and unschooling.
Yeah, well, connection, a human contact. And
you did a search online on Facebook, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm a bit of the sort who will just sort of jump from topic to topic and explore, and if it suits me and I'm in awe, I keep going down that rabbit hole. And so at that time, it was definitely, I rotate through some core topics, but at that time it was working with my daughter who has special needs, and we were home together, and I knew we were going to start on a new adventure, and unschooling came up as an idea, which I was not familiar with. I ended up finding you, your unschooling group on Facebook.
Wow, that's so nice. So lovely that you found us. And I'm so glad you searched for it. Because we had so much fun connecting. So many sessions we had every week talking about unschooling, parenting, and listening circles. It was so special to me. I grew. And from that friendship with you, I got the idea of why not also take people through the inner journey of painting in presence.
Wow. Yeah. That just amazes me that our conversations spawn so many ideas, don't they?
Yeah. It's because you said you paint and you haven't painted for some time or something like that. You said you didn't.
It'd be like 20 years. Yeah.
I painted every day even then.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I always wanted to take people through the inner journey of what happens when you paint.
Yeah. I had gone to art school, and which was wrought with competition and critiques that went on for hours and hours and hours. And it sort of drilled the desire to paint out of me. And so you reintroduced that it was a possibility to try again. And I thought, well, yeah, I might try again. I did like things about it, but I was afraid. But you guided me right through that.
Yeah, interestingly, because I never went to art school.
Yeah.
So I always...
Lucky you.
Can you believe it that I always painted because I didn't know any other way but to paint one moment at a time and see what it's telling me to do next. And only after years I realized what I was doing was called empathic painting, intuitive painting, and why it was feeling so good and how it helped me fix so many problems in my life. And then I was trying to share this insight, this way of painting, is when you showed up and said, oh, well, we could try this. And I said, well, I don't know if this is going to work, but wow, I got participation. I got connection. I got a friend here.
Yeah. I was ready for, to explore, and learn about myself. And so the offer to do it in a platform that I was familiar with, but had long lost, I loved, but had kind of lost my connection to painting. I was ready, no doubt.
Wow, it's so, so beautiful for me to be able to share this most dear process. It saved my life for 45 years, this ability to just return back to painting. Mm-hmm. When nothing is working, everything is falling apart, there's health problems, there is financial problems, relationship problems, and nothing would work, I would automatically come back to the table And I know that paint always makes me happy. And I never realized that not going to school was my superpower, that I didn't go to any art school.
Yeah, that's saved my life. That's what saved you.
Totally. And every time you forget, but that's when you meet friends like you, and we vibrate and sort of resonate on the same points, is when you start feeling that new joy again, that wow, we're going to walk and try out these things together.
Yeah. I think sharing sort of the discovery of, it's not really new ideas. Everything's kind of already established. It's just kind of rediscovering ideas and in the context of another person is where I get the most excited. I love collaborative exploration into finding the things that are awe-inspiring for me, and to have someone else to do that with. It just happens naturally, though, doesn't it, with certain people?
Absolutely. Only certain spaces allow you to be just yourself. Not that other places don't, but somehow you may show up differently in each space, you know. So it's a combination thing. It's a kind of a chemical thing, I guess.
Yeah, it was perfect timing, and it overlapped so well with our other interests, because I never thought, you know, I had studied NVC, nonviolent communication, and it felt sort of like a fringe idea in a way. Where I live, there was very few people who had even heard of it. And so to find unschooling and the NVC combined in
with
one person,
heart.
it felt synchronistic, I guess.
I was just going to say that is so synchronistic to find all of this, and such a great connect. I love our friendship, how it's evolved over 1 year, and I think you've been there every Wednesday, almost every Wednesday you've been there, and I look forward to it so much.
Yeah, I probably have actually for quite some time. And you know, my project that emerged from it all I had found in my exploration of myself that I didn't trust myself to show up on my behalf. It was almost like I wanted other people to commit to me, but upon further inspection, I noticed that I hadn't really committed to me in a way that made me feel secure. And so from our meetings, the idea that I would commit to myself basically to show up to hang out with you and paint every single Wednesday for 52 Wednesdays was a message to myself. I don't know that I could have done it, though, if it was me alone. I needed it to be in a space where there was another person that I could. That's just how I'm built. I'm motivated when I'm aligned with someone else. And some people can really work independently and stay to a schedule, but I'm not that person. I do much better with a cohort.
Yes.
A friend along the path kind of thing. And so that started that, and now I, you know, make that a painting every single in the time that we're together. I kind of complete it in that time period, basically. So that project has taught me that I can show up for myself. I'm there. I am. I'm here.
Right.
Yeah.
All these little belief systems that we create for ourselves, and then we can revisit them and reorient ourselves. How beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're here, Noelle, on the podcast. And this podcast, as you know, is about talking everything about presence, mindfulness, living from your authentic self, communing with the spirit, and whatever that means to you. I want to discuss a little more of that. And if any time during the chat, which should be another 20-30 minutes, as long as you feel comfortable, if you feel you need to step away and take a breather or just hold silence, just feel free to say that. because this podcast is about that, about experiencing it, talking about it, and even bringing it alive for all our listeners, our friends out there, who may get a direct experience of what it feels like to just be present in the moment and connect to oneself, and then listen, what we call empathic listening, or listening from presence, or talking from presence. So I have very interesting things to ask you, but at the first I know that I know you a bit, so I want to give you that freedom, that be free to stop anytime and say, okay, I need a few minutes to step away, get you a cup of coffee or something. Okay.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Thanks for that.
And you said something about participation, which brought alive a response from me, that I'm very much like you, that I have so many ideas and inspirations and so many things I've done in my 45 years. And yet I am completely useless unless someone shows up and says, well, I might enjoy that, which is why I got inspired to start the Artist Within Painting in Presence Wednesdays. Because I feel something in you saying, hey, I might enjoy that too, I need that. And then I knew that I need that too, of course. But because there is this participation and connection with a live human being out there, and I looked further in it, and I would love to know what you feel about it, how it shows up in you, that we human beings, we need something real all the time. As in, why real? Because it's uncertain. Like right now, this conversation, we don't know what we're going to discuss. We haven't had any question answers ready or anything. We just have this sense of connection, and we feel safe in this connection. And hence, we're able to open up and share ourselves. So I feel all of us, we need this kind of a real connection, a space which is open, and there's some novelty and surprise in it, because we don't know what we're going to hear. So it's very engaging. And once it is engaging and it grips our imagination, and you know, it piques our interest, then we are able to express, which is why I thought that when you are painting, when if someone's talking from that presence, telling you a story about their life, not just some made-up story, then it becomes interesting to be open and pay full attention. You know, it's engaging. And then I was able to paint. Is the reason why, what my experience was, that I cannot paint till I've lived something. I have something to say. So I would always paint at the end of the day, after I've experienced life and I have something to say.
Right.
So I thought, let me create that space where I'm talking about my life, everyday life, my parenting or my other interests or whatever happened in the day. And that's what we do in the Wednesdays. And we listen from that empathic, non-judgmental presence to practice what it means to just be true to yourself. So I wanted to just put it out here and see what comes alive in you when I share this, you know.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's funny because we're on opposite ends of the planet. And so we're always, it's your night, my morning. So we're always in, and we've seen this theme kind of throughout this kind of interesting juxtaposition of opposites, that we can be so similar and aligned, yet so directly opposite. So I got kind of cracked up because you spend your day and then you come to the space, and I wake up and I do spend about an hour and I really make an effort to have quiet time and meditation before I come to the blank page. But what I found is, and you were so open to this, I bring sometimes, you know, the day before can bleed into the next morning in terms of emotionally. And what I have really found with this space is that I can show up truly as I am. And I'm, you know, I'm a deep, deep person, and my feelings are enormous. And so it's rare that I find a space that I can show up authentically in that. And those moods, and you know, there's been times that I've shown up and not really said a word. I kind of waved a little and then just got to it because I was just in such a heavy space. But I am always able to tap wherever my emotions are, begin the process of following the brush. And that was what you presented to me was come without expectation, come without demand on yourself, come without intention, and follow your brush. And that was so different from anything I had learned in art school, because the trend was you had to come with an idea, and it had to be a good idea. So you couldn't just show up with an idea. It had to be brilliant somehow. And then you were, in a competitive environment of who was going to be the most amazing. And I'm sure I brought a lot of my personality, which is kind of perfectionistic, and I have all those demons, but to that situation. So yes, I've found that coming to the page without having to create anything specific and just following the brush and being able to allow my emotions to I guess fuel it in a way has really helped me have a safe and productive way to process hard feelings, hard emotions.
Right.
And in my life, that just is not, the general gist. I used to just kind of dump on people, and that's just not fair and it's not good. And so finding a way to kind of contain all of me but still be able to express it in a healthy way is monumental.
Yeah, monumental is the word. Yes, I remember, Noel, that in the beginning you said, I'm not ready, I'm not in a good mood, I can't come today. And I had to remind you that that's the time you have to come do it for yourself and know that everything's fine. People will accept you the way you are if you allow yourself to be accepted. If you accept yourself and say, it's okay, this is me being human. And this, I'm saying this so easily as if I know, but no, every session I'm practicing the same thing.
Right.
It's not that I know. The point is that I am so kicked about finding this ability in the last few years that the only thing I need to do is find ways to celebrate our humanity. And then everything feels all right. Every morning, if I do a few journaling pages or I sit and paint in that empathic presence and meet myself where I am. If I haven't done this, then that little child inside me refuses to cooperate and do anything well. There's no effort then. But the days I have done this and I experiment to check if this is really how it works for me, the days I met myself where I am and said, yeah, I know yesterday that didn't go well. And that was so wonderful. And, I mourn this. I celebrate that. Then the rest of the day is effortless, bubbling, flowing. All the synchronicities and serendipity just happens. People show up. Work gets done, playfully, joyfully. So,
yeah.
So I'm so thrilled to hear that this worked for you. I wanted to see if it will work for others too and how this will pan out for others, Or am I the only one doing weird experiments?
Yeah, I think it is, it would work for anyone. And I don't know, and we've talked about this, it doesn't have to be painting. It's whatever you do that you lose track of time. I read a quote yesterday or the day before, and it said, and I don't even remember who said it, which is kind of awful to quote someone without knowing who it was, but it said, do what you did when you were a kid and you completely lost track of time. Whatever that thing was, go back and do that.
Wow.
And and I remember, and I grew up, in the era before technology. So we had the advantage of running around outside and losing hours at a time in our play.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, the painting really resonates with me. But as you've pointed out, some people, it might be singing or other forms of expression that we just find in immense joy in, and we create because we're creators, right? Isn't that what we do? We're human and we create.
Yes, yes. Wow, that's so beautiful. So well said. No, I'm really glad you're on the podcast and sharing, because you articulate things so well. I've always said this, and in fact, I wish you could take some of the sessions.
Yeah, you inspire me. Oh, I was so afraid to even express anything, really. When I got to you, I was just so afraid to be me, and you've nurtured that in me. Thank you for that, Dipali.
Oh, and you have nurtured me so much. I have to say that in particular, that when you show up with that enthusiasm, remember, we were the only ones in the unschooling online sessions, listening circles. And sometimes we were the only ones, sometimes no one showed up. And we had such a fun time sharing all our stories and difficulties and challenges, and just embracing each other, just saying, yeah, I get you.
Yeah, it was funny because we were showing up in context to creating beautiful lives with our children and learning and growing together with them, and that being a beautiful experience. And I kept getting this feeling, because that really was what we were talking about. We really stayed pretty centered on how we related to our children and the stories around that. And I kept thinking to myself, I would go, I'm getting a feeling, because you would sort of drop hints or something, but you never came out and said you paint or you're an artist. And I was like, I have a feeling this woman is an artist or something. And I was an artist, definitely. And then there was other sort of alignments with A Course in Miracles, just little comments and other philosophies that we... And that's when our conversation started to expand outside. On those days that no one showed up, we got to kind of break the rules in our topic.
Right. It's uncanny that the natural attraction that happens when we don't know anything about the person, but there's a sense that tells that, no, there's something here for me. I have to go. I have to meet this one. I'm interested in that intuitive feeling, you know, which attracted you to me and me back to you, and saying, no, I also didn't know you paint. And one day we just suddenly discovered we both paint. And that was one thing between us, you know. So let's talk a little bit about how this practice of painting in presence, empathic listening while painting, being present to whatever comes alive in you, being true to yourself. What has it done? Because it's been so many months that we've been doing it. And what it's done for me, it's done several things, especially painting with a group of friends. People, there's so many people we don't know, they've come and then we become friends. What it's done to my art practice itself is given me a certain freedom. Earlier, I had a very, codependent relationship with art, because it was the single most thing that always saved my life. And I had a traumatic childhood. So I remember just painting or reading or writing or singing or dancing. But painting was at the heart of it. As I grew up, whenever things got challenging, I went back to the board. I was also a professional artist for many years, a decade ago. And that also worked well. But then eventually I realized that I like to create something else while I'm painting. For example, the idea of unschooling listening circles, or having this Wednesday sessions, or theater, you know, a script for theater, educational model, or what should I do about this particular problem. All these things, I get clarity. When I'm painting, I get that inspiration. So for me, art was this ground of meeting myself, figuring out what I should do next, and an intuitive inner listening. But in this last year of our painting together online, I have been able to step away and say, okay, if I don't paint for a few days, it's fine. Nothing's going to go wrong. It developed a greater relationship with my senses, my mind, my breath, and say, okay, if something is not working well and I'm feeling flustered or anxious, I can always say time out, or just breathe, or focus on one thing and listen carefully to the other person and repeat back. And you know, I developed other methods, but that's because I was painting with you girls. That was the first time I ever did this, like in the last whole year. So it developed this ability in me to be okay without my art for a few days. It's fine. I am doing very well. Otherwise,
right.
I had this like, oh, I can't figure out what's happening. I don't know what to do. I'm going back to my table. Don't talk to me, you know.
Right.
So it's given me this immense freedom to feel okay in all kinds of situations, and I'll manage it. I will listen deeper. I'll ask the right questions. I'll inquire. So it's made me more flexible and more free that I can step out and engage with other people. Otherwise, I was like, no, I'm at home on my table.
Yeah. You know what I think is interesting about that is we so naturally, as people come to the space, what I've noticed happen is when we start to share, it's really always our story. It's kind of like we're expressing in words. It's almost like we're painting with words at the same time we're painting with paint and a brush. And so it's like happening at the same time. It's not like we sit around and give advice or any of that. It's more like old fashioned folk tale sharing, you know, where you tell a story and they are our stories. They happen to be, you know, our stories.
Right.
And so I can see where, I get filled up doubly. So I get filled up in the expression and the painting and the, you know, that whole process. And then I get filled up with the support of these people, because it's interesting how our story is so different, because we have people from all over the world. I mean,
Yep.
Like all corners of the sphere, which is, there's always such a pretty common.
Adi from Canada, and there is somebody from Malaysia, and there is a couple of people from India, and there was somebody from Scotland. So we've had so many England, yes, we've had so many different people we've met on our journeys online. Yes,
but the stories seem oddly similar in ways, and that's, I think, the comfort in it, isn't it?
That's right. You said it so well, that it's like sitting around the fire and, you know, just sharing, opening up. There is no compulsion. There have been days I'm the only one jabbering away and no one has said a word. There's been days when I've said nothing and no one has said anything. We're listening to music. And
yeah,
you've just shared a little bit and been off. You're right. It fills us up with, I think, our humanity to connect.
Yeah.
Is the most fundamental thing for us human beings, to feel human. Unless we are not able to connect, we don't feel human, I feel.
We feel
off the mark. We feel upset. We feel like, I live with my son, and days when some hours, if he's not had a chat or given me a hug, then I am like, something's missing. And I go inside and say, can I have a hug? Or he'll come out every other hour and say, I need a hug.
Mm-hmm.
Just one hug is enough. We don't have great much to talk. He's in his teenage years, so there's nothing much to talk. He's after a few days he'll have something to say, but some days there isn't. But that connection is where I think we see our humanity in each other. We see a shared reality. We see and we are sharing our own story. There's honesty and raw reality to share. Nothing made up, nothing, there's no judgment. So you're right, it is not a space where we are expecting that, but it's open to look at it and see if it makes you happy to just be yourself.
I think people who come to it start to catch on that the space really supports expressing authentically without pressure. And I think that because when we show up, granted, there is the structure of painting, but right. It's about as loose as structure can get. you know, you have a couple of paints, you have a brush, you actually, and if you don't, you're fine to use a pencil. That's about the extent of the structure of the process. And so we're allowed to come, and I think we catch on after a couple of sessions that there's no demand. It's not like I have to come and talk about a specific topic. I don't have to show up with a casserole. I didn't have to fit in any way. I didn't have to plan or figure out, you know, my presentation or, you know, all the stuff that usually when we get together with other people, even in leisure, you know, like we're going to play baseball together. There's, you know, all the bits and bobs that have to be figured and sorted and dealt with and negotiated.
Right.
There's none of that in the space. And I think that that's kind of the magic of it, is people, because there's been people who have come and they, I think it feels like, oh, I'm going to be taught how to paint. And once you go, oh, no, we're not being taught anything. I just get to be and express freely. Sometimes it hasn't happened. Like, I felt like I hadn't been there since I was a child. Right. Like when I came into that, and then I get to speak and share in a way that there really is no expectation and there's no judgment. And yeah, it's incredibly supportive and relaxing. It's like, okay, I'm okay here. And that's rare. It's hard to find those types of spaces.
Yes, so well said. And then how does that become a habit? It becomes a habit and we start doing that in the rest of our lives. Because for me, mm-hmm. this is a practice ground where I can practice just being empathically present. And in that moment, if I truly feel I have to respond from generosity, from kindness, from just a deep listening, then what comes up? Instead of feeling any pressure to say the right thing, to make the other person feel comfortable or anything like that, I can be true to myself. And then that's become a habit, and I see my relationships improve greatly with myself and others. First with myself, because I have been so demanding with myself. It was a given, you know, I was a single parent for nearly 12 years. I've had a hard life in many, many ways. And so I had this habit of expecting a lot from myself. Mm-hmm. And this Wednesday meeting, Empathic Presence, which of course, you're right, I want to acknowledge NBC, where I learned a lot about it from my friends here in India, who already were living from that presence and holding listening circles, from A Course in Miracles that also introduced the power of presence. And just resting in the holiness, happiness habit. I want to acknowledge so many, many, many people and concepts and philosophies that have come my way. But ultimately, to create a space of your own, to practice it, to enjoy it, to bask more in it. That made a difference. And I wanted a combination of art. You know, I cannot sit and listen in empathic listening for too long because my hands have to be busy. I have to have one part of me feel secure in a repeated action of some kind. And I know a lot of children, I worked with children all my life. So I know a lot of children, when they are doing something, they're writing, they're looking down a drawing, we think they're not listening, but they're actually listening much better.
Yes.
It's something about, like, you know, when you're driving and you go in a state of flow because you're listening to music. So subconscious kind of comes up because the conscious mind is just busy doing something repeated. It's like the monkey is busy. So then the angels can come out and do the magical things. So so this has really changed my life a lot in many ways. And I would love to know, and even my art practice, like I said earlier, that the whole style of painting, the kind of work I used to do and now I do, everything has shifted. And it was a combination of things, to paint and do body movement, to sing, and then to go and live the life, as in if I have to create a new program or an educational model, or I have to meet some clients who want listening circles or a meeting of, you know, they want to know, sit in a mindfulness presence with their issues, all kinds of work I could do, but first I had to meet myself in art. And that,
yeah, and don't forget the playfulness, because you've done such an excellent job. That helped me so much, Dipali. I had forgotten how to feel playful. And so, you know how we come to and we show up and we turn on the computer and our faces, and me and you will just sit there and make silly faces at each other and kind of wave our arms about, and we do, you know, the kind of the movement in the chair stuff, and almost like we're, you know, like in sixth grade at the little dance, and but it's over a computer, you know, we kind of respond to each other and do our dancing. Yeah. Often without any music or anything, it's just what we do. But so I did want to stress that the playfulness that came through it also in all the other aspects.
Yeah, the whole thing is built on playfulness. The whole idea of, you know, this whole very big notion of mindful listening deeply to each other. Actually, it's primarily based on playfulness. We're just trying to have fun and increase the curiosity factor inside us. So when I'm making faces, I shift my mind, kind of shifts from that serious mode of analytical thinking and being the right, you know, into this childlike saying, oh, everything's silly, all right. And it's very shamanic. Actually, these are all shamanic rituals that have been passed down for ages. So again, I want to acknowledge my shamanic grandparents and the indigenous communities from all over the world. I have been very fortunate to be able to connect to a few tribes in India and feel the confirmation that this is the way, this is the way. Earlier, I used to feel very self-conscious and critical that I have this huge need to be funny all the time. And I have so much energy to run around with children. Then the adults standing around will say, oh, you are very childish.
And right.
Oh, actually, I'm very childlike. I'm very mature also. You'll be surprised. I'm very mature.
Yeah.
And you know, there is this whole thing that you can't be childish and childlike and then be mature, you know.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I got so bogged down with life, the responsibility of it all. You know, my daughter who has special needs, and I'm caring for her, and I got to a place where I so desperately sought to rest in the ease of peace. Like, I needed my soul to be at peace. You know, the life had gotten too insane. But when I sought that mindfulness, it was out of seriousness. It was void of playfulness. And so often we seek that peace, I think, a lot of us, from a place of kind of desperate
and that
seriousness.
Works.
You know,
I don't think that ever works. It feels very boring. I've tried it before doing many other different meditations and Vipassana. Vipassana was a big part of my life. And I thought at one point it was boring. It was really boring. It's a wonderful practice. I love the observation that you learn from it, and you bring that non-judgmental observation from it. But I wanted to do it playfully. So I would do it through body movement, through painting.
We need the play.
Through theater. See, a lot of theater. And I realized ultimately that the way to peace is through playfulness. Why? Because the serious mind, which is an adult mind, is not going to drop its need to be serious unless it first goes through this tunnel of playfulness.
Yeah.
And then it drops it and it says, it's okay, it's safe. It's safe for me to laugh a bit. And then it experiences peace and harmony. It's so funny that it's like kind of a transformation of self, that you transform your own self, your own mind, by taking yourself into these spaces. And you don't need much for it, right? You just sit and make faces and just wiggle your...
No, it doesn't take much for us, does it?
I love that. I love that part so much. And thank you for bringing it up and reminding me that the big part is playfulness. Actually, it is only playfulness.
And I had forgotten, and you reintroduced me to it, yes.
Yeah, and I needed, you know, you reaffirm it. You are my mirror. I look at you and say, see, she has got the same flavor and tempo of being playful. Like, the need is high in you as much as it is in me. And I know some people who come and they find it very difficult to let go and, you know, even bring their tongue out or wiggle their nose.
Yeah.
And they laugh at us when we are doing it. And I'm fine. It's fine. You don't have to quit. But just to even feel that while someone's doing it, say, hey, this is cool. This is so sweet. That's okay. You don't have to actually do all of this, right?
But well, an audience is a good thing too. There always has to. So even if you sit and you just observe us, there's something to be said for that too.
We need that witness space. So now you're bringing up that next topic of witness space. Some of us thrive in when we have an audience or we have participation. This witness space is so powerful. I'm beginning to see a commonality here that some of us who have high running passions and strong emotions, we are the ones who thrive in an audience and in performance, you know. But the witness space that is opens up when there is people looking at you is very powerful. It's what I experience in theater, and it's a long topic. We could talk about another day. But I would love to hear what you feel about this presence of other people watching you. Doesn't it feel safe? Like, to me, it always feels like I'm doing it on behalf of all of us. And I'm an empath. So I've been on theater on stage, and I know that certain lines you are saying or some movement you're doing, a piece you're doing, has come from nowhere. It's just come from out of the script. And it's because I was so connected to the audience. I wanted the audience to have an experience. Mm-hmm. And something moved through me. So a lot of time, even in our Wednesday sessions, I feel something is speaking through me. Even in this podcast, I feel something speaking through me and I want to hear it, which is why I'm talking. Because unless I talk, I won't hear it, right?
Right. Yeah, I've come to understand that the audience is almost equally as, if not more important than the creator. Because without the witness, the creation doesn't seem to go anywhere. And I learned that from my daughter, who has autism. She's autistic and she has Down syndrome. And she's really into opera. And so we would go to this opera camp. And the first time, and it took a lot of effort. It was a typical scenario. And so I had to kind of facilitate. And it was time to choose our roles. And I said, so what role do you want to, you know, try out for? And she turned to me and said, very matter-of-factly, the audience.
Wow.
And at the time, I was slightly perturbed because I'd spent a lot of money for us to be at this opera camp.
That's a pure unschooly moment over there.
Right. And it really wasn't. It's not my finer moment at all. And it really was not the answer I wanted, because I really wanted her to shine and be all those things that we look for sometimes and get into that craziness. And her wisdom has that taught me just such a profound thing about the observer. So I'm glad I got to share that little story.
Wow, that's a very powerful story, Noel. Very wonderful story. I really want to stay with that story because I hadn't heard this one before. You've shared many stories about your daughter and your unschooly moments, but not this one.
Oh, wow.
Huh. Yeah, this is very powerful.
And you know Chloe, so
yeah, I know
she was
Chloe.
She was adamant. I'm the audience.
Yeah, just like my son, we have been unschooling for nearly 8 years, and yeah, there is this clarity in them which helps me so much. He just takes a stand and says, "Nope, I can't do this." And I love that. I celebrate that, because then I step back and do this inner work on myself, that why do you need him to do this so desperately? And I talk to the mother inside me, the parent, and I realize it's my old conditioning. And then once I've listened to my needs behind it, then I'm able to make a new request to myself for him. These are such powerful defining moments, and it helps our lives go into the direction of absolute ease. I feel life for me has become so effortless, and I feel it's a grace. It's grace that's making it happen. I'm lucky, but I do all this inner work to not to enjoy it, but I love the inner work. I love this dimension of inquiring and what I need to be in order to serve life better. How will it facilitate? How can I facilitate life within me, around me? Like I am absolutely humbled by this 1 year journey with you and so many people I've met. It has really softened my heart so much, because I've had always had these amazing ideas. I start something amazing, it goes very well for a couple of years, and then everyone disappears. Hello? What happened? Why are you disappearing? You know, like, let's continue. Let's build on this. Let's continue to have fun. I guess that's the nature of life. But so for me, I have harnessed every moment of it and felt so much gratitude that this is possible. So we are coming into 45 minutes and we can go on a little bit more.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you that you experienced this Chloe's story, her intuition, and maybe you want to talk a little bit about intuition, because all of this Wednesday is an art practice, or here also podcast is about really developing a muscle of intuition. And what does that really mean? What does intuition look like in your life? It'd be interesting to know if you feel like sharing.
I think you're saying, you mean intuition? Is that what you're saying? Sometimes our language, our accents.
Indian accent of it, intuition. No, it's intuition. Yes. Intuition.
Okay. For me, in my really finding, really opening myself up to, okay, who are you, without judgment?
Right.
So not who I want you to think I am, because I lived my whole life in this, what am I supposed to be?
Right.
And when I finally started going, okay, no, really, Noelle, just between me and you, what do you like and what don't you like? Mm. And then we'll start weeding out. And I think that that's where the intuition comes from, is when I start aligning honestly and authentically and raw, like in this really raw sense, without judgment, and go, it's okay, you don't have to like that. I know all the rest of the world, everybody loves that, but you get to not like it. And it goes back to the story with Chloe. You know, I so wanted her to, she has, you know, intellectual disabilities and all these things, these challenges. And I wanted her to be able to do, like, we're judged on what we do. Mm. And she taught me really early on, you got to change your yardstick. Mm. I am exceptional at observing.
Right.
And the rest of the world couldn't really see value in that, because it doesn't look good, you know, down at the local school or whatever, when you don't do anything. But I saw the wisdom in it. And that kind of opened that door to really authentically connecting with, even if it's, I do nothing.
Right.
And being okay with that. That was just such a new way of viewing, and the ease, because you were really talking about, you know, falling into the ease and the rest of, in resting in it,
right.
That I felt from saying, it's okay if whatever you want to do, you sit, you rest without anxiety. And that's how I kind of guide myself. And I think that is kind of my intuition now.
Yes. That's how intuition looks to you. Wonderful. Wow. That's beautiful. Wow. What I'm hearing is that intuition for you is something you can feel okay about, something that feels light and easy. And even if it looks weird to others, or, you know, in the old model of thinking, if it feels like, oh, we can't do this, it's not the done thing, that's not how we should behave. But something inside says, well, that feels easy, we'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and you, those core beliefs are, you know, raging. And for me, it's always coming up against, oh, it's not enough.
Right.
Oh, it's not enough. And so, no, it might be enough for me to just sit and watch the leaves blow today.
Mm.
And the nurturing that I give myself to allow that time to to I guess, you know, recharge. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's very powerful sharing that. Very, very heartful. Yes, it resonates with my experience of feeling intuitive guidance or intuitive knowledge or ideas that feels this is the right thing. I don't know if I have the capacity or the resources for it, but why does it feel so right? For example, mm-hmm. the biggest and most powerful story I have about it is this. When I were in 2019, I came back from UK after 5 months of very big, huge adventure, you know, meeting the ex family, ex's family, and ex is always an adventure, but it turned into something really big. And when I came back, I was really exhausted in a very life and death kind of thing. It's like, I'm dying now, let me rest. And as I was resting and coming to slowly after a few months towards the end of 2019, I asked myself, now what do you want to do? I'm going to begin life again, create, you know, give something, serve something, commit to something. What? You've done theater, you've done education, you build communities, you've done art, dance, children, so much, unschooling. What should we commit to? And I said, I don't want to do multiple things. I want to do one single thing. I'm tired of doing all these multiple things. I'm talking with myself, and an inner voice says, enough now, Dipali, just sit down and paint. I said, right. And who's going to pay the bills? Because paintings don't sell. You know, there's a whole thing behind that, and I can't do that. So I knew that I better just listen to the heart voice. And it's not like listen, it was not like me just listening. It was all things aligning and opening up for me only to paint. Like everything was happening that I could only paint. For example, even if I told someone, yeah, I'll come and teach the children in the school and all, they would say, we'll get back to you, and there'd be no answer. So while I'm waiting for them to get back to me, what am I doing? Painting.
Yeah.
And as I kept painting, I remembered how much communing with myself and communion with the world, my stories, my friends, I could feel in that space of painting, you know, like compassionate presence to them. So I enjoyed it and nurtured. It felt so nurturing. And there I'm painting every day, every morning, every night, and feeling this deeper connect to everything. With, of course, a looming worry that what am I going to do if, you know, we run out of money? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So none of these responses from any other clients or schools or, you know, really came through. Just one or two here and there. While my painting goes on. And then suddenly, March comes. And the unheard of thing happens. The whole world is shut down.
Yeah.
And guess what? I look around me and all my friends, most of my friends, all the people around me are falling apart. And myself, I should be falling apart as I knew myself, you know, coming from a traumatic experience in UK for 5 months. I was like, I was in a robust inner health condition.
Mm-hmm.
My empathy levels were soaring high. I was feeling very open-hearted and generous. And I said, not to worry. We will meet in the listening circle. When I had all these parents who are my friends, they said, what do we do now? We are worried and stuff. And some of them go to school, some of them don't go to school. I said, okay, let's sit down in a listening circle and see and just listen to each other. You know, I'm sure we'll figure it out, but can we just be friends? And that began the whole journey. But can you see this? I was amazed. I felt like Noah, God whispering in my ears and telling me, build an ark. But I'm looking
and
think, but everybody's running around and busy doing important things. And here I am just painting away my life.
Yeah.
I better do something important. And yet only opened up this much, that paint, that's all. And see what it did. Within 3 months, I was able to serve so many. Not only that, it nurtured my life back. In pandemic, when people were losing jobs and all, I had all of you guys sending me some funds. I had donations. I had gifts from people who said, we mm-hmm. love the work you're doing. Continue. And unbelievably, the heart that whispered showed unfolded the rest of the life in every which way. All I was doing is having fun, meeting friends, and really, you know, enjoying my heart's content, while the rest was following. I believe that's really what intuition does, mindfulness does, that it leads you to something you can't imagine, right?
Yeah, to follow those stepping stones of really feeding our soul, right? Yeah. When I take action that energizes me and I'm able to reflect that back to other people and I'm in this state of joy and excitement,
right.
It may not make sense in the context that has been kind of shoved down our throat, you know. Mm. I get that, well, you need to be doing this, you should be doing, you know, all the shoulds and the you must.
Yeah.
That's not adequate. That inner critic kind of jumps in.
Yes.
But no, what unfolds when I allow that the delight, my awe of life to lead me and to unfold before my walking feet. I just keep following, kind of like following the brush as you presented. The painting appears. It just appears.
It appears, exactly. That's what has happened to our painting technique also, that you're present to what is more important, the sensations it creates in you, what life it opens up inside you. And your hand has already done something amazing. I think that's the way the inner psyche connects to you. And that's why these indigenous tribes really painted. But they were painting for a higher reason, to bring out the messages from deep within the collective psyche. And that is showing a life in a new direction instead of just repeating the yesterday again. You make new choices every day. So I have developed this habit now, Noel. If any time I'm in an exciting situation and I have this very exciting, impressionable mind, it says, yeah, that's good, let's do this. And oh, yeah, that's good. I say, well, I will come back to you. I need to check in with myself. I no longer say yes immediately. I go back and say, I need to check in. You know, there's a funny thing. Somebody asked me out for a date towards the end of the pandemic. It was like, and somebody really sweet. And I said, an old friend of mine. And I said, you know what? It's a very exciting prospect, but can I reply after a few days? Because I need to check in with myself.
Yes.
And I was so happy I did that, because I didn't know I could do that, you know. I would be in a straight jacket and say, do I have to say yes or no? Now itself, do I have to say yes or no? And I really learned the value of taking time, respectfully saying, I love this idea, feels amazing. And I'm feeling, what is it, the word, blushing, but can I take some time?
Well, in checking in with ourselves, I noticed that it's the feelings that arise somatically in my body that really tell the story, because my mind will say, oh, well, you should be, but those little tinges and twinges, or I feel really settled, I'm there's no red flags popping up in terms of feelings in my body, that's when I really get aligned, that's when I'm really listening. And I didn't know that, you know, I can come to myself and take a couple of minutes and really feel in my body how this sets with me. And that's a new practice as well for me, Dipali.
Wonderful.
Powerful.
You summarized it so well. You highlighted all the points. That actually, the real deeper listening only means whole being listening, whole being presence. You know, you're feeling your way through life instead of thinking your way through life.
Mm-hmm.
And developing that ability in various ways. You could do it through art, body work, or whichever way, many other ways, meditation or whatever.
Yeah.
But that is, you know, bringing up the cream of what life is all about. Opening up a possibility that life can be really easy and joyful and loving.
Mm. Yeah.
Possibility. I love this. And the time is 58:58. Not time, but the clock is 58:58 over here. Wonderful. Perfect time.
Time to move on with the day, right?
Flow on.
Yes, flow on.
Tell me, before we wind up for today, what are you doing right now? What's in front of you? Describe your space a bit.
Well, we do know all of our technical difficulties over getting my mic to cooperate with my, whatever the gadget was, which started out as my phone and now it's my computer. So we finally were able to get up and running. And so my computer is on my legs. And I'm actually in my new glorious bedroom where I have removed every item from the room.
Wow.
Except for the bed and a little bedside stand.
Lovely.
And and so it's kind of become my new favorite space to be in, because it's just an empty room with very, very, very dark, almost denim blue walls.
Wow.
And everything else in it is white.
It sounds so beautiful. I love the gift you've given yourself.
Yeah, I needed a space that was just really clean and my thoughts could be uncluttered.
Wow. I find this need in me also all the time to just be present to the stream of consciousness inside me. You know, to listen to that voice that is flowing and talking and help it. Sometimes it says something harsh, then I say, wait a minute, can you say that again? You know, can you repeat it and tell me the truth behind it? You know, a thought like, oh, this friend of you, though, she doesn't really like you, or something like that. It's like, no, let's repeat. Can you reframe that? What's the truth behind it? Well, she's taking space to be herself.
Right. Oh, we do tell ourselves wicked stories, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
They're just not true. And it's weird.
And that's why I think slowing down, and I love that you are giving yourself this space. I have been doing a similar thing, emptying all my books and clearing the space. I wonder, you know, we are running the same life parallelly.
At opposite ends of the earth, right?
I love that. It's like we are holding the world between us.
Yes, yes, indeed. Oh, I love you, dear. I love you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing such a kindred, soulful stories with me. I love you, Noel. And I hope our listeners find some value and write back to us, talk to us.
Yes, we would love to hear from folks, no doubt.
There is a button.
We know how to find you. Yeah.
There is a button on the podcast where if listeners like, they can just press the button and send us a voice message, and we can include it in our next podcast.
Yeah, and you're on all sorts of platforms, you know, Facebook and other places they can find you, Dipali, I know.
Yes, Dipali Parma is on Instagram, Facebook, and podcast. The same podcast is available on Spotify, Apple, Google, Anchor, many other places. So if you need to be on our mailing list, just send an email to theunschoolway@gmail.com. It's the
Yeah, and we would love to see anyone who wants to try out the artist within and do some meditative painting with us. We'd love to invite folks there too.
Yes, we'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
With that, I wish you a beautiful day, Noel, and see you soon.
All right, dear. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.